Might not be bad, huh? Littles. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Can we do a cell phone check, please? All the cell phones off or silent? Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 11, text 16. Tachchrutva Bhagavan Ramo Rundhanapi Dhiya Shuchaha Smarang Stasya Gunam Stam Tan Nashaknod Rodhami Sharaha. After hearing the news of Mother Sita's entering the earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was certainly aggrieved. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, upon remembering the exalted qualities of Mother Sita, he could not check his grief in transcendental love. Purport. Lord Ramchandra's grief at the news of Sita Devi's entering the earth is not to be considered material. In the spiritual world, also, there are feelings of separation, but such feelings are considered spiritual bliss. Grief and separation exists even in the absolute, but such feelings of separation in the spiritual world are transcendentally blissful. Such feelings are a sign of tasya prema vyashatra vashyatva svabhav, being under the influence of ladini shakti and being controlled by love. In the material world, such feelings of separation are only a perverted reflection. Tach shrutva Bhagavan Ramo Rundhan api dhiya shuchaha Smarans tasya gunams tams tan Na shaknod rodham isharaha. Twice it's mentioned that he's Bhagavan, that he's Isharaha. Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, the reservoir of all opulences. So his lamentation was not that of an ordinary human being controlled by the material energy. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Hetunanena kontiya jagat viparivartate. The whole material energy is moving under the personality of Godhead. But he says, what is that? Nachaham teshute mai? Like that. That I'm the above these three modes of material nature. I'm the controller of the three modes of material nature. The lamentation in the material world is a product of the modes of material nature, especially the modes of passion and ignorance. I'm thinking that I'm this body in the mode of ignorance, and by a combination of passion and ignorance, I have my beloved wife or girlfriend or whoever it may be. And when there's meeting, I feel happiness. When there's separation, I feel distress. All created by the modes of material nature. Asango hiyam purusha. It has nothing to do with the actual living being. It has to do with his dream life. A living being actually has no connection with these things, but he's dreaming. This is my wife, this is my daughter, this is my husband, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my this, this is my that. Dreaming, I'm this body, and these people have something to do with me. In terms of the material energy. So by that material energy, sometimes he's feeling happy, and sometimes he's feeling distressed. But Lord Ramchandra is the controller of the material energy. He's not controlled by the material energy. He's not under the influence of the material energy. So those feelings can't even get near him. The feelings produced by Maya's artistry can't even get close to the personality of Godhead. Mayam cha, what is that? Vyapashrayaha? In the first canto, Vyasdev saw the personality of Godhead. Yaya sammohito jiva. So what was that previous verse? Mayam tad apashrayam. Taking shelter of the Lord or in the shadow of the Lord was the material energy. Yaya sammohita jiva. What is that? Atmanam trigunatmakam. Along with the Lord, Vyasdev saw the material energy by which the living entity, the jiva, is bewildered. But that energy can't touch the Lord. He saw that material energy is hanging back. She can't enter the primary jurisdiction of the Lord. She has to stay back in her own territory. And therefore, the lamentation of Lord Ramchandra is not that of an ordinary human being. Rather, it's the model or the original fact of which the lamentation in the material world is a false, perverted reflection. Everything is there in the personality of Godhead. The Lord is not impersonal. And he's the source of everything, janmadyasya. So everything is there in the Lord. But it's found pervertedly reflected in the material world. The Lord is not a person. It is a person. The Lord is a person. And person means thinking, willing, feeling also. The Lord has feelings. Everyone will say that. The Christians will say that the Lord is all merciful. The Muslims will also say that Allah is all compassionate, all these things. That means he has feelings. Compassion is a feeling. Mercy represents a feeling. So the Lord has feelings. Every religious sect will admit that God has feelings. But why should those feelings be limited? He only feels compassion. He only feels sympathy or mercy. Why only those one or two or three feelings? We have a broader range of feelings. We feel happiness, we feel melancholy, we feel absolute distress, we feel fear, we feel love, we feel so many different things. You can't even name them all. There are so many shades and tints and varieties of feelings that a human being experiences. So why should God be monotone? That he only experiences compassion, or he only experiences sympathy for the Or, okay, they give him a little more anger. Right? He feels sympathy and he feels anger. He's ready to throw things at the disobedient souls. So he's got mercy, he's got anger, but why not more than that? Okay, they say love, God so loved the world. And then again, a kind of sympathy. But from Srimad Bhagavatam and the literature of the Goswamis, we understand that God has the whole range of feelings. He has the whole range of feelings. Mami vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanata. We're all little parts of God. So if these feelings are in us, how are they present without being present in him? How can the little drop have of ocean water have salt and the ocean not have salt? Whatever's there in the drop must be there in the ocean, but to an unlimited extent, to a vast extent. So these feelings that are in the human being are present in God also. They're present in God. But in a different way. The Lord is Vishuddha Sattva. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. The Lord is in the mode of pure goodness. And we're in the mixed modes of passion, ignorance, and material goodness. So his feelings can be said to be produced from Vishuddha Sattva, or from the state of pure goodness, absolute goodness. And our feelings, especially in this sort of affair, are produced from passion, ignorance, and maybe a little tinge of goodness in there somewhere. So in the material world, this is the world of duality. Black and white, good and bad, happy and distressed. So we go through these, we're banged around by these dualities actually. Sometimes I'm feeling elated and sometimes I'm feeling depressed. It's so prevalent within people these days that there's a clinical name for it, manic depression, which is now, I think, morphed into bipolar, whatever. Same thing. But it means mood swings. In the morning, I wake up totally depressed. By the evening, I'm in the heavenly planets. Then again, swinging this way, just by nature, without a cause, any change of circumstances, one is just going up and going down because his mind is going up and going down. Or else by circumstances. You know, I win the lottery, I become unlimitedly joyful. And my dog dies and I become depressed. Or serious, my intimate relative dies, my wife dies, my husband dies. I become morose. So these dualities are there. Everyone wants happiness and no one wants distress. But these two sides are always there. Harsha, Marsha. Harsha, Marsha, Bhayod, Vegar, Sayukta Sasuki Naraha, a person who can control the forces of happiness and distress, Udvega, the who's not banged around, who's not pushed around by happiness and distress. Sayukta, he's the person who's in Krishna consciousness. Sasuki Naraha, he's a happy person. Harsha Marsha means happiness and distress. But when one becomes beyond happiness and distress, Suki, then he's actually happy. He's actually happy. So what to speak of the personality of Godhead? He's actually happy. He's the reservoir of happiness, Satchidananda. But his happiness takes different forms. And some of those forms resemble the distress of this material world. It's not distress. It's another form of ecstasy. But it appears like the distress of this material world. It's actually produced by Ladini Shakti, the all-blissful energy of the Lord. But it's manifested in this form of apparent grief and separation. Because there's no duality in the spiritual world, the feelings of grief, feelings of separation, are non-different from the feelings of happiness. They're on the same level. They're not two sides of things. So his grief is not different from happiness. It's another kind of taste. Just as we have different tastes, sweet taste, salty taste, bitter taste. In the West, bitter is rejected as being displeasing. But for those who've cultivated a taste, bitter is also very tasty. Karela sabji, shukta. These things are tasty. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing these bitter vegetables also. So there are different tastes, sweet, bitter, hot, salty, sour also. But they're all tasty. And the combination of different tastes enhances the overall experience. If you sit down for a feast and it's gulab jamuns, sweet rice, ras malai, on and on and on, sweet, 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 sweet. That's, you can't really enjoy. There has to be something bitter to start out with. And then something sweet, something hot, something salty, something sour also enhances the meal. The combination of all these different tastes, that makes a feast. That makes a feast. Where all of the tastes are present. If the sweet is not there, then you say, where's the sweet? So you want all of the different tastes, and when they're all combined together, then you experience how variety, how nice it is. So these tastes are there in the experiences exchanged in the pastimes of the Lord with his devotees. Sometimes there's laughter. Sometimes there's shock. Sometimes there's horror. sometimes there's this, and sometimes there's that. There's so many, like, sometimes ghastliness, sometimes chivalry. And the primary tastes are there, servanthood, friendship, parental love, the conjugal love. Mm-hmm. All of these tastes are there in God. He not only enjoys being the Father, he enjoys being the Son, he enjoys being the friend, he enjoys being the husband, he enjoys being the lover. He enjoys all of these tastes. And he enjoys all the different aspects of the taste. He enjoys quarrel also. Between husband and wife, sometimes there's quarrel. And if it doesn't get out of hand, that's also kind of tasty. Yes. In household affairs, when there's some little quarrel between husband and wife, that creates some enjoyment. Unless it gets, you know, out of hand and he beats the daylights out of her or something. No, it's serious. It's not that everything is a laughing matter. Therefore, Krishna wanted to create some quarrel with Rukmini. That she's always soft and agreeable and pliant. But it would be nice to have some little fight. A little to see her with anger in her eyes. That would be nice also. So he started giving a narrative about how it would be better now for her to find a new husband because he was no good. Just to create some quarrel so that there would be enjoyment. Just like teasing. The husband teases the wife teases the husband. So it creates some apparent, what would you say, disagreement. But it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. So enjoyment comes in different forms. Enjoyment comes in different forms. So this is another kind of enjoyment. Although no one looks for this enjoyment, it's also another taste. This feeling of separation. And in relationship to the personality of Godhead, this taste is described as the most relishable taste. The feelings experienced in separation from the Lord. Sometimes we hear that separation is so valuable, because the feelings of separation enhance the feelings of meeting. When we meet after long separation, then the feeling is multiplied, increased, intensified. And that's true. But Srila Sanatana Goswami says that although that's true, there's also a more hidden truth, and that is that the feeling of separation itself is relishable. It's not just what separation contributes to meeting, but the separation itself is a relishable feeling. It's a relishable feeling. On the spiritual platform. On the spiritual platform. Therefore, Krishna himself takes the role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and experiences these feelings of separation from Krishna. yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha prapashayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govindavirahinam. He's experiencing one moment to be like millions of years. Such intense separation. And of course, one doesn't seek separation, one seeks meeting. No one goes looking for that separation. But it's so arranged by the energy of the Lord that there's separation also in Krishna's pastimes. And the separation is relishable. When the cowherd boys were separated from Krishna, when the gopis were separated from Krishna, they felt even greater, even more intensely, the presence of Krishna than they felt when Krishna was present. In the absence of Krishna, they were embracing the tamal trees. That this tree is the color of Krishna. So they were seeing Krishna in the tree. They were enacting the pastimes of Krishna. Someone became the whirlwind demon, and someone was whirling her around. Now they're becoming absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Radharani was talking like a madwoman to a bumblebee. She was talking to a bumblebee. My dear sir, you've come. First, she's criticizing that you're a rascal. You're representing a rogue Krishna. He's picked you up. You're the same color that he is, and your nature is the same. You just go from flower to flower, and then you abandon the place that you've been. So first, she was criticizing the bee up and down. And then when the bee flew away, she thought, oh no, now I've insulted him. He's going to go back and tell Krishna all the things I've said about him. Then the bee came back. You're so kind that you've come back. Krishna must have sent you again. But totally mad. You know, if anyone here started talking to bumblebees, but this is described as divyonmada, divine madness, transcendental madness. Because she was absorbed in thinking of Krishna. The whole subject matter was Krishna. And the intensity of the feeling was so powerful. Therefore, the method taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Goswami followers is the method of serving Krishna in separation. We're already separated from Krishna by our having turned away from Krishna, vimukha chetasa, indriyartha. But the Goswamis taught that one should serve Krishna in separation, not with a falsely adopted pretense of meeting Krishna. That now, oh, I heard Krishna talking to me. I was walking, I saw Krishna behind the bush. He winked at me. Well, bogus things. Not a pretense that now I'm dancing with Krishna, now I'm playing with Krishna. But rather, serving Krishna in the mood of separation. In that mood of separation, everything reminds one of Krishna. Smarams tasya gunams tams tam. As the devotee remembers Krishna, Krishna thinks of the devotee. Or his internal energy. So he's remembering Sita Devi, her different qualities, gunan. None of this can happen for the impersonalists. But in different circumstances, he would remember her qualities. The different places or different times would be like triggers for remembering the qualities of Sita Devi. So for the devotee also, the different circumstances, different times, different places, different situations serve as impetuses for remembering Krishna. The devotee, when he goes to a holy place connected with Krishna, he thinks of Krishna. When he sees the deity, he begins thinking all about the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord. In so many different circumstances, the devotee who's feeling separated from Krishna relishes the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So these feelings are there in the devotee. These feelings are also there in the Lord. But in the devotee, they're there to some extent. And for the Lord, unlimited. His feelings are unlimited. We can't even imagine. Just like when the Lord kills Hiranyakashipu, he's not only angry, he's unlimitedly angry. One devotee asked, how can I control the sudden onset of anger? We just, out of nowhere, anger comes, and how can... Prabhupada said, you think about Lord Nisringadev. You're only a little angry. He's unlimitedly angry. We have some feelings, and in the touch with the material energy, our feelings are shallow. Even the so-called deep feelings that we have in the material world are shallow because they're in relationship to this material body and the material mind. They're shallow feelings, as deep as we think they are. But the shallow, and they have a beginning and an end. But the Lord's feelings have no beginning, they have no end, they have no limit to their depth. We can't conceive of such feelings. But the Lord has, people say, the Lord has unlimited compassion. The Lord has unlimited mercy. But the Lord, we understand from Bhagavatam, all of his feelings are unlimited. In compassion, his mercy, his anger, his love, his grief, everything unlimited, everything absolute. And this is Krishna. All right, we'll stop here. Any questions, comments?
We were discussing about the different emotions and feelings. And there are two different things I have heard about envy.
Envy.
That it doesn't exist in the spiritual world, even in the living entity, or to speak of the Lord. But then I've also heard that there is envy, but of a positive nature. Mm. They are one of envious of other, but it enhances and doesn't. So, what exactly, how do we understand? I mean, does it really exist?
Just like we understand that in the material world there's birth, death, disease, and old age. And in the spiritual world there's no disease, no old age. What to speak of death? And yet we read that there's disease. In separation from Krishna, the devotee sometimes shows some symptom of just like Radharani, she gets mentally diseased. She's talking to bumblebees. That's disease. But it's there in the spiritual world. Or these symptoms, the devotees in Vrindavan after Krishna left, they seemed as if they'd been stricken by some disease. There's no disease in the spiritual world, but there's this transcendental manifestation which resembles material disease. So there may be envy also in the spiritual world. But it's not this envy. It's not the nasty mentality of those who don't want anyone else to get ahead. It's a different feeling. It resembles the envy of this material world, but it's pure. Even if someone's jealous, oh, this gopi has come out ahead. But they become happy also, that she's must have pleased Krishna so much. And so it leads to a competitive feeling that, but I'll please Krishna more. I have to please Krishna more. So the center is Krishna's pleasure. And the feelings are absolute. It's not the envy of this material world. That's not to be found there. Is that okay? Anything else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta brinda ki jai. Gaur Premanande.